Well, good evening.
I was so afraid I was going to say good morning, so I'm so used to that, but good evening. Tonight, we're going to be having a couple extra prayers this evening. This past few weeks, there's been a lot of things that have gone on in the congregation. Obviously, the ones that we know of very well are those that are dealing with sickness, and the difficulties that come with that, the families that have to deal with that. There are some who are dealing with various other issues in their lives that not everyone knows of, nor does everyone need to. But our God knows. And the opportunity to talk to Him through prayer, and Kevin, I'll give him the credit for it, said, you know, we need a prayer service. And he's 100% correct. It's one of those things that we don't do enough. Perhaps you are in your day-to-day life. But sometimes when we get into services, we have the opening and we have the closing. And that's kind of the way we look at them, at the bookend prayers. Instead of just stopping and thinking about the fact that we're talking to the Almighty God and having the opportunity to praise Him, to ask Him of things, to lean on Him. I love how the Psalms go out throughout all of the Psalms, and I'll just pick a couple of them out. I put Psalm 105, and it can be many of them, especially at the end of the book. How many of them are just Psalms of praise? How many are just the fact that I am just going to praise Him because I know what He has done? I don't have to tell Him a list of things that I need Him to do for me at the moment. I just want to praise Him. I just want to thank Him for all that He has been able to do. Tyler's been teaching a class on prayer on Tuesdays, and it's interesting to me when you think about it from that perspective of our prayer life. What commonly do we pray for? Is He the genie prayer life? Do we just ask, we have things we want to ask of Him or wishes that we want to have granted? Is He just the one that we kind of go like the ATM and hope that there's something that comes out? That's what I used to do. Hopefully He'll answer. Or do we understand that He is in absolute control? Do we understand the power and the love that He has? The fact that He wants to be with us, Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2 talk about that. I know your name, He says in verse 1 and verse 2. I'll go through those things with you. And it just comes back to just praising Him. Tyler also, the last month or so, has been talking about Revelation, the 5th chapter. The idea that the people in heaven, or the vision that is there of heaven, the elders, are praising Him. Anytime that you're in His presence, there's this great praise of Him. You and I are going to be praising Him for eternity. And then we'll praise Him some more. Understanding who He is. So to start off tonight, Kevin's going to lead us in a prayer of praise. If you would, please bow with him.
Mindful of being humble as we come in your presence. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Father, we praise you as we see your creation, as we go outside and look at the night sky, look at all the things that you've done, Father, and so magnificent. Father, we thank you for making this world that we could live in, and making it so comfortable, helping us, Father, to remember the things that you've done for us in our lives. Father, we're thankful for life itself. As we see the cycle of life and we see loved ones pass on, but we see new birth, Father, new life. We praise you for your handiwork, for your craftsmanship, for all that you do, for the miracle of life, the body that you've created here that we can live on this earth. Father, we're ever mindful and praise you for the church, for the organization that you've put into us being together as people of yours. We thank you, Father, for all the members that are here. We thank you for the leadership We thank you for the purpose that we have as we come together. Father, we praise you for your Son, the author of our salvation, for the great sacrifice that he made on our behalf. We can't comprehend how he could leave your side and come here. Father, we realize that he's the precious Lamb, and we're ever mindful of that. Father, we are in praise of you for the hope and the expectation that we have as your children, that we can come and be with you one day. We thank you for creating and describing those streets of gold, realizing that that's just something for our minds, Father. We thank you, Father, and we praise you for your word that you gave the Holy Spirit to the apostles, that they may write those things down that you breathed. We thank you for that, Father. Realize that that's the guide for our lives. Father, we are ever mindful of all the blessings that you provided us for this country that we live in, Father, for the things that we have that make our life here so comfortable. Help us to not put those things in front of you. Help us to realize that those are blessings that you provide, that we might live our lives and be an example to others. Father, we're mindful and thankful for the example of the elderly of this congregation, for those that are aged and still are great examples. We thank you for Lloyd and Doreen and for the Changs and their great example, Father, of faith. Father, we're thankful for the energy of the youth in our congregation, for the zeal that they have for you, for the young people here, Father, realizing they're the future of the church. We thank you for the love that you've commanded in your word, and we're thankful for the example of that we see here. Father, we're thankful also for the spiritual growth of those that are here, for those that are starving for your word, that are trying to live their lives the best that they can. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us here as a congregation, for the teachers that we have here, for Scott and Tyler and their diligent work. We're thankful for the elders and the deacons, the leadership that guides this congregation. Father, we pray that you'll be with us and help us as we lead. Father, we're thankful for your word, for the times that we can come together and study. We pray that you'll direct our minds, Father, to put you first in all things. We thank you so much, Father, for the gift that you've given us of your Son. We thank you that you've allowed us the opportunity to even hope that we can be with you. Father, we ask you to be with us, help us to be mindful of you and the purpose that you put us here for, that we spread your word to others and bring others with us when that time comes. Pray all these things through Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Kings, the 20th chapter, 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. Thank you, Kevin. In 1 Kings, the 20th chapter, there's a situation that's come about where they're going to be fighting amongst Israel and the enemies coming. And there's this conversation that we're privy to of the servants of the king of Aram. And I want you to notice what they say in verse 23. It says, "Now the servants of the king of Aram said to him, 'Their gods are the gods of the mountains. Therefore they were stronger than we, but rather let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they.'" Yours may say valley. So the idea from their perspective was, that God, Jehovah, he's only the God of the mountain. Let's get him in the valleys. Let's fight him where our God is.
verse 24 and continuing on, that's exactly what they're going to at least try to do as you go forward here. You come down to verse 28, it says, then a man of God came near and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord. Now think about this, this is God. This is what God says. Because the Arameans have said, the Lord is the God of the mountains, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore, I will give all this great multitude in your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Oh, I'm the God of the valleys. I'm the God of the mountains and the valleys. He's our God no matter what we are going through. And there are people going through some difficult situations. There are people that are going through some very hard situations in their lives. We call them the valleys. I always think of, we studied in Luke, other gospels as well, but it's the idea of him coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and you imagine what they saw up there, and they come down, and as soon as they get down, there's arguments. They're back down in the valley. They're back down to what happens here in this earth, on this earth. And it's the same thing sometimes for you and I. I'm afraid that there are some who have this perspective of God that as long as everything's going well in my life, he's with me. And then I start going through difficulties, and where is he? Where is he, God? Where did you go? And it's a struggle, or at least a temptation to struggle, or not to have that feeling for some. And I know that's true because I've talked to you about it. It reminds me so much, obviously, of Psalm 23, where David, in a horrible situation of his life, and I mean a horrible situation of his life, is able to write one of the most beautiful psalms, a psalm that we go to not only as common as I've talked about many times at a funeral, but it should be common for us all the time. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. It's not because David didn't like or liked the fact that he was in the valley of the shadow of death. He did not like that. It wasn't because he wasn't scared of the valley of the shadow of death. It was because God was with him. But guess what? He still had to go through that valley. There's a lot of people in this congregation that have gone through some horrible things. And I wanted you to understand, first of all, those of you that have gone through those things, you are an amazing example. I've always and always impressed, and I think we all should be, when a child of God goes through something horrific and you see them lean on God. Doesn't mean it was easy. It doesn't mean that there's some sort of a superhero or able to do something that you can't do or I can't do. It means that they have an awesome God. And it means that you and I have the same opportunity when we go through those things. Not only to talk to those that have gone through them, but to follow their example of leaning on the Almighty God. I'm afraid so often we get kind of confused when we come to services. I talk about this normally from the standpoint we come in, we have our suit and ties on, unless it's Sunday night, we don't have a tie on, but we have our nice dresses on. We all look the part, we all have it down. And the temptation is to look around and see that there's nobody else struggling with anything here. And that's not true. And the temptation for us, those that are struggling with things, are to pretend like there's nothing going on. That's pride. We have an opportunity to truly be a family, to lean on one another, to remember one another in prayer, to encourage one another. That's what we see in the scriptures. There are people here that are struggling mightily in the valley right now. We need to pray for them. We need to help them. Because not only should God be with them, and he is, we need to be with them. We have the opportunity to help them in as much as we're able. We're going to pray for those that are going through these difficulties. Mike Hawk is going to lead us in this prayer. What one of the amazing things to me, and as I said this a few minutes ago, that cannot go unnoticed. You may not know of anything that's going on at West Mason that people are struggling with. Our God does. And so as we say this prayer, as nice as the first prayer was, and it was, I didn't hear the amens, the so be it's. at the end. We're talking to God. So if you agree with it, amen it. At this time, we'll be led in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege of prayer. When we think that you, our very Creator, wants to talk to us, wants to hear what we have to say, and you do hear us, that's difficult to comprehend. Father, we help us to understand that we know that you hear your children. You hear our every whisper, even while it is said when our heart is breaking and our eyes are full of tears. You care for us. You hear our prayers and you answer. Father, sometimes that answer is yes. Sometimes it is wait. And sometimes you say, I have a better idea. Help us to accept that, Father, and not be anxious, but be completely trusting in you. Because we know that you cause all things to work together for good for those that love you. Father, we're thankful for modern medicine, the tremendous advances that have been made in recent years. But we know that you are responsible for that. You have made that possible. It hasn't been man's doings. We're so thankful for that, Father, and thankful for the many that have been helped. And Father, we know that we will all face health issues in this life, some more than others. But Father, we take a look at the prayer list that we have, that we receive every week. It's a rather daunting list. But even when we look at that, there are many more that need prayers. We want to take just a little time to look at that, Father. We want to pray for those that are young, such as Parker Lyon, little Avery Absher, Jackman Brownfield, Cindy's relative. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we pray for those that are elderly, the Lawsons, the Thomases, the Changs. Bless them in their old age, Father. Those that are battling serious diseases, Linda's brother, Lynn Wessel, Dave Willis, Christy Tucker, Carol, Stacy's aunt. And then we have all those that have chronic issues, Father. Bonnie and Billy and Joe and Jessica, Brandy's sister. Pray for those that deal with things like diabetes every day. How difficult that must be. And Father, we also pray for those that are, have emotional issues, mental issues, addiction issues. And we go on and on with names, Father. But you know who they all are. You know their needs. We ask you to bless them and comfort them and to do for them what you know is best. Help them in their healing, Father. Again, we're thankful to you that for those that have been helped in the past, that have successfully recovered their health. So thankful for that. Father, we ask that you constantly guide us in this life. And above all things, Father, we are thankful for your Son and all that he did for us. Forgive us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
The last one we're going to have this evening is about the family, about here at West Mason. And certainly the others have been about this as well, as we've all are a part of this family and the understanding of helping to build one another up, but from a spiritual perspective. Certainly there are people that are struggling spiritually, and there's opportunities, obviously, for us to help them. There are certain people that have not been here in a few weeks. And I hope that you've noticed there's people that perhaps have sat next to you for years that haven't been here. I hope you notice. Brian Weaver always talks about the idea that if one of his daughters was not at the table, he probably would notice that. But this is our family. And we're all on this, in essence, this journey to be with him for eternity. John the 17th chapter, Jesus will pray for this unity. They're all united as he and the Father are, that we can be united with them. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 12 through 27, if you turn over there with me, is the idea that you and I are a part of this body. And we all have different functions. We all have different places, different talents. But what I love about 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, is verse 18. Because I believe this is the same thing in Corinth as it is here at West Mason. It says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. He desired. You are where you are supposed to be. It's where he desired. The question is whether or not we're doing what we are told to do, what we should be doing for the family. He'll go on and he'll talk about this idea that some will look down at the other because they're not a certain part of the body. And that's wrong. There's others that don't think themselves to be a high priority in the body, and so they just will kind of try to hide in the background. And that's wrong. We all have a part. We all have the opportunity to make this congregation as good as it possibly can be. Is based on every single one of us doing our part. You see, we're surrounded by things in this world that are going to tear us down, and that's easy to get into the church. It's easy to complain. It's easy to tear down. God's people are to build up. God's people are to encourage. That doesn't mean that there's not times of edification or exhorting one another in difficult situations, but it means that you have the right attitude and love when you do so. But we are to encourage one another. Help one another. Do all we can for one another, because this is your family. At this time, if you would please bow your heads as Dwayne Greenwood leads us in prayer.
Pray with me. Our awesome Father in heaven, we continue our prayer this evening, Father, as we beseech you and reach out to you. Father, we are frail and we need your help, Father. We seek to do good, Father. We seek to do what's right, but we need you, Father, in your word, Lord, in our lives. Lord, we look at your word and we see your masterful plan, Father, to bring us all to you, to allow us to have a relationship with you, Father, to be redeemed and to have the hope of heaven, Father. And we see your wisdom, Father, fully manifest in the church that you have established. And we are privileged, Father, to be your children, to be a part of your church. Lord, we ask that you be with us and help us. Help us to be mindful of this blessing that we have. Help us to see each day how our lives have ultimate meaning because we are your children. We ask, Father, right now for strength. Father, as your church, we are beseeched on all sides. Father, when we are here worshiping you, that's the safe place. But when we go out into the world, we are pressured and we are tossed about and we struggle. Father, we need your strength and your word living in us so that when we do come back together, Father, to worship you, that we each know each other well and that we know each other's struggles and that we know how to encourage one another. Father, be with us. Be with us on our spiritual journey to you and as your church. We ask for your presence in our everyday lives and for the blessings of being your family. Father, we ask specifically for this congregation here at West Mason. We pray for your church worldwide, but we expressly pray for this church here at Mason, Father, the church that you've established, and give an opportunity to all these souls in here to be baptized, to accept Jesus and his sacrifice, and that have come together to work together and to love one another and to love you. Father, be with us. Keep us strong. Help us to lift up those that need you. Help us to know each other better and to love each other more. Help us to be more involved in each other's lives, to know and see. And give us opportunities, Father, for your light to shine through us here in this community, here within this building, here within each of the lives here that are expressing their love to you. Father, without you, we are nothing and we have no hope. But with you, Father, we can do all things through you and we know that. We ask for your blessings on this congregation. Please help us to be that shining light in the community that we can bring your hope to a lost world. And when we're out, Father, and we're dispersed, in times when we're not together, help us to remember one another and be the people that you would have us be. We praise you, Father, and it's in our blessed Savior's name we pray. Amen.
As we offer the invitation, I was going to talk about this slide. And if you haven't seen it, it's been a while since I put it up, and if you don't have it, I can send it to you. It's very obvious what the scriptures will indicate, what you're supposed to do, what the Bible talks about. Not necessarily as step by step by step by step, but what we're supposed to do to get into Christ. But the song that we just sang prior to me getting up here is a powerful one to me. How long has it been? That's a question that we're all going to have to answer. But I think it's a good indication of what our relationship with God is like. How long has it been since you've prayed to him? How long has it been since you prayed for others or praised him? How long has it been where we didn't just bow our heads and only talk about our favorite subject and what we need? How long has it been since you just had a good conversation with your Father in heaven? For some, it's a daily occurrence. For some, it's a daily occurrence, but it's become just sort of tradition. It's just what I do. That's no good either. It's the opportunity that you and I have to talk to him all the time. And I assure you, and I know this as someone, as we would say, that's grown up in it, we can take that for granted so fast that I can bow my head and talk to the Creator of all things at any time. But we have that opportunity. Take advantage of it. Don't take it for granted. Understand how awesome that is. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you are missing out on so many amazing spiritual blessings. The opportunity to be his child. But you have the opportunity now to get that right, to become his child. It's your decision. For those of us that have done those things, we have the opportunity now to make sure that we're right with him. And if you haven't been living your life the way that you should, by his grace, mercy, and love, you still have the opportunity now. You know, one of the things that I'll talk about in my own private prayers is I will end by saying, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. And one day that's going to occur, whether I'm here on alive or not. But for some, people are not praying that. Do not come now. You're the ones I'm talking to. Get your life right with him. And if there's anything that we can do for you, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.